The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another broadcast of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network, and I just want to thank you for listening and supporting this wonderful apostolate of Catholic radio based here in the Archdiocese of St. Louis, the Rome of the West. I am so excited about today's guest. And I'm also excited about where I am located right now. Last week, we met a beautiful couple, Stan and Janet Schwent, who shared with us about their marriage and what it is like to have a daughter enter a cloistered monastery. Well, today, I am here at the Poor Clare Monastery on Telegraph Road, and we are going to get to meet their daughter, Sister Mary Christiana. I am here in the parlor of the monastery, which is divided with a half wall, and I am just placing my cell phone on the ledge between us. So I want our listeners to get a little visual of where I am right now and how this interview is taking place. But before we meet Sister Mary Christiana, I'd like to share some insights from St. Faustina's diary about a very important word, humility. And although these words were recorded by St. Faustina back in the 1930s, I want you to imagine Jesus saying these words to you today. And I quote, "True greatness is in loving God and in humility. Know that a pure soul is humble. When you lower and empty yourself before my majesty, I then pursue you with my graces and make use of my omnipotence to exalt you. Humility draws me down from my lofty throne, and I unite myself closely with you. Bring to me the meek and humble souls and the souls of little children and immerse them in my mercy. These souls most closely resemble my heart. I pour out upon them whole torrents of grace. Only the humble soul is able to receive my grace. Torrents of grace inundate humble souls. The proud remain always in poverty and misery. Because my grace turns away from them to humble souls. You always please me by your humility. You always please me by your humility." Again, our Lord said that to St. Faustina back in the 1930s, but I love these words. I need these challenging words in my own vocation. We all do. Whenever I make the more humble choice, the lesser of two things that I may want in a store or at a restaurant, I please God. Whenever I consciously choose to simplify my lifestyle in any way, overlook imperfections, or be content with the least expensive, I grow in virtue. Whenever I choose to humble myself and defer to my husband, defer to a family member, or defer to the church, that pleases God. Whenever I eat humble pie and choose to apologize first, God pours out his grace. God is pleased whenever we choose humility. It is difficult to find humility in today's world, but for those who are called, for those who desire to live humbly and give their entire lives to Jesus, the cloistered life is certainly where you will find the beauty of simplicity and humility. St. Faustina said this, "Jesus loves hidden souls. A hidden flower is the most fragrant. I must strive to make the interior of my soul a resting place for the heart of Jesus. End quote. Again, a beautiful quote from St. Faustina. Our guest today follows in the footsteps of some of the greatest saints, like St. Clare of Assisi, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, and St. Faustina, who lived hidden lives of holiness behind monastery walls. She is a beautiful hidden flower in our day today. Sister Mary Christiana was born August 21st, 1985 in Friendswood, Texas, the middle child of three girls to Stan and Janet Schwent. And again, they were our guests last week on the Pearl of Great Price radio show. Their family moved shortly thereafter to St. Genevieve, Missouri, where Sister grew up and attended St. Genevieve Public High School. She entered the Poor Clare Monastery the summer after her high school graduation in 2004. She made her final profession on January 1st, 2011. Sister Mary Christiana was a concert choir member in high school and continues to love singing. Well, welcome Sister Mary Christiana to the Pearl of Great Price radio show.
Thank you, Patty.
All right, well, we are so excited to hear about your story. I have to say, after reading your bio, you were a public school graduate, and then the very next summer entered a cloistered monastery. Now, that just doesn't happen every day for most kids in high school, so I can't wait to hear your story. But let's start at the very beginning. Describe growing up in your family. What were some of your early experiences of God?
Let's see. Growing up in my family was pretty simple. A small town girl growing up. My parents were Sunday going Catholic, Sunday Mass. We went to Catholic grade school. So there wasn't too much excitement going on.
It sounds pretty typical.
Yeah.
And you were the middle child of three girls.
Yeah.
Did you get along with your sisters?
We got along pretty well. I'd have to say if there was any mischief or trouble, it was usually me. So, yeah.
So you were the typical one and got into a little trouble now and then. I love it. But did you ever think that you would become a nun those years in high school?
I had had ideas of it. Growing up in Catholic grade school, we had a sister who was a principal. So I had kind of in the back of my mind, it did kind of fade away when you get to middle school and boys are more interesting than being a nun. But because of my mother who got involved in youth group, that kind of brought back that idea of...
Do you remember when you first had a desire to become a nun in grade school? You said, was it in a religion class? Was it at Mass? Was it just saying bedtime prayers at night? What made you even think of that as an early child?
Actually, it was seeing our sister Donna, who was our principal. I remember being in line. I think it was probably just for lunch. I remember watching her and thinking, I think I'd like to do that.
Hmm. Was she a joyful nun?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was a precious blood sister.
You know, that joy is contagious. There's no doubt about it. And when you have exposure to sisters, I think that's so beautiful that you did have exposures to religious life as a child. And again, you could just picture yourself like her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a natural thing when you're a child to want to be like your teachers or your principal.
Yeah.
You know, so that's beautiful. I love it. Well, what were you like in high school? During those high school years?
Well,
What were your plans?
Didn't have a lot of plans. I knew I wanted to do something special, but, you know, nothing really struck me as this is what I want to do. But I must say when I started considering religious life more seriously, it felt very natural, kind of like this was what I was meant to do, and nothing else seemed to grab me like that. So,
okay, so how did you start considering religious life? Tell me about your youth group experiences that led you to hear the call. Where were you? Was it gradual or was it a defining moment? So you said youth group. Was that important to you?
Youth group. Well, at first, no. I did not want to go.
You did not?
No.
But your mom was the leader.
Yes, she was. And I was not interested.
So sometimes moms have to say, you're going anyway.
Well, it wasn't mom, that was dad.
Okay. Your parents kind of alluded to that a little bit, that you didn't even want to go sometimes.
Oh, no, no. Mom wanted it to be my own choice, but my dad had no qualms.
And said, you're going.
He said, you're going. So I went, and I usually put on as much attitude as I could and sat in the back. But I have to say, probably watching my mother's constant patience trying to reach out to young people really touched me. And I kind of had a turnaround at some point. It was still kind of shallow in the beginning. It was more the Steubenville conferences that they have for young people.
Yeah, those are fantastic.
That's where it really, I had a real experience where it really touched me. The faith became mine.
Beautiful. And then I understand you went on a trip to Medjugorje.
I did. So that was junior year in high school. I had had, that Steubenville was the one where I really started seriously thinking about religious life. I really had an experience of God. And so we were going to Medjugorje that Christmas.
Now, was this with a youth group trip or was it just your family? With whom did you go?
It was a youth group.
Okay. Wow. What a youth group to go to Medjugorje.
It was. We were fundraising all summer long. So we went vocation-wise. It was New Year's Eve. My mother went to with some of the other adults to Mass at midnight. And a few of us kids went up Apparition Hill. And it's there that I used to wear a rosary ring on my finger to remind me that I was considering religious life. I took that ring off and I placed it at the feet of the statue of Mary there on Apparition Hill. And I entrusted my vocation to her. And it was only...
So on this trip to Medjugorje, you were praying about your vocation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was.
And which so is beautiful.
A few days later, we went to a church and we were just kind of visiting and we were out right outside of it. And a few of my friends from youth group were speaking to a friar whom I had never seen before. So I walked up and joined the conversation and he kind of looked at me and he smiled and he stopped the conversation and just asked all of us right there, are any of you considering religious life? And so they all pointed to me. I said, yeah, I'm the one, it's me. And he looked at me and said, I knew it was you. I saw it on your forehead. He said, the Holy Spirit has given me the gift to see religious vocations on the foreheads of those who have them. And I promised the Holy Spirit I would tell whoever I saw it on. And he just walked away.
Oh, my goodness.
So talk about quite a stamp of approval
yes.
on my discernment.
So this friar came right out and just asked. And then when you said, yeah, it's me, it just confirmed what he had already seen
yes.
in you, coming mm-hmm. through you, the Holy Spirit shining his light just right over your forehead.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. Okay, so what did you do, though, when you hear something like that? You know, what do you do with that?
Well, I just kind of stood there dumbfounded.
I'm sure.
I took it home with me. At that point, I made some changes. I started really looking at religious orders because I knew that that was it.
Okay, so yeah, that's my next question. Were you thinking cloistered monastery at this time, or were you thinking like your principal, a sister who might be in a teaching order or nursing, hospital work, or what? Mm-hmm. How did you find out about the Poor Clares? How did you discern what type of sister to become?
I was thinking active first because those are the only ones I was familiar with.
Sure.
And actually, it was while I was visiting the Franciscan Sisters of the Martyr of St. George over in Alton.
Who are awesome, and we've had many of them on our show.
Oh, great.
Fantastic order.
Yeah, I was visiting. I mean, I thought they were a great community. I was interested. But actually, while we were saying the Stations of the Cross outside, I heard the Lord say, cloister. And I did not know what that meant, but I kind of started crying and said, but I don't want to lose my family.
Mm.
That seemed to be... the tug for me.
Sure.
But I was going to look into it because that's what I heard him say. So I started looking at different cloister orders in the diocese here in St. Louis. And I found the Poor Clares among them. And that was the first one I called.
You just called up?
Called up and asked to come for a visit.
Wow. That's brave. You know, sometimes you may just say, send me a pamphlet or send me a brochure. But right away, called up, can I come for a visit?
Yes.
And obviously they said yes.
Yes. Mother said yes. And she even invited me an extra day.
Okay, so when you come for a visit, how long was that first initial visit? And what were your first impressions on that first initial visit?
It was a weekend. And, I mean, the first thing I noticed was how simple the monastery was. There's a real beauty in the poverty, the simplicity. It's so quiet here. That's so striking to me because I was really looking for something small and simple. So I came and I spent most of my time just quiet time. I spoke with Mother in the parlor. I even helped the extern sister clean in the chapel. So a 17-year-old, it wasn't necessarily overly exciting. But at the end of it, when I was waiting to get picked up, my mom was coming to pick me up. I was sitting in that chapel. I just started crying. And I said, this is it. this is it. It was that feeling of home that I was looking for. This is home. I knew this was the place.
Wow. And our listeners can't see this, but she has this huge smile on her face as she's relaying this, of that moment of crying and saying, this is home. I mean, I'm thinking crying as in shedding tears of, oh no, somewhat sad. No, you're smiling.
Joy.
Joy. Yes, as you say this. Joy of finding it and knowing and that peace and that consolation, like you said. So I love how you said, and I didn't know this. I mean, I know obviously the Poor Clares, it's a life of humility and simplicity. So that's why I chose those words for the intro. But that's what you said drew you here. Those exact things, the humility and the simplicity, which is just beautiful. So then you obviously take out an application and you enter. Tell me about the day that you entered and what you brought with you, which I think is hilarious.
Well, so my family brought me up. I was very nervous. I was so nervous that when I got here and I rang the turn bell and I told them, okay, I'm here, I'm ready to enter. And they said, well, did you say goodbye to your family? No. Well, why don't you say goodbye to your family? Oh, okay, sure. So
you were that excited.
Oh, I was so, anyway. But I had brought most of my stuff ahead of time, but I had a special suitcase.
What possessions could you bring with you?
There was a list of things you were supposed to bring with you, but of actual things that I would bring from home, there wasn't anything to bring except my roller skates.
Roller skates. Now tell me why roller skates, and how was that allowed that you brought your roller skates?
I think one of the sisters here, I heard she roller skated, and so I loved roller skates, so I went, and for my birthday, I bought a new pair so that I could come here and roller skate.
And do you still roller skate?
I still roller skate.
Where do you roller skate? This is beyond what I think any of us could ever imagine of a Poor Clare nun in a cloistered monastery doing. Where do you roller skate?
So we have a road out back, and so I go up and down the road. But when we were building our new addition, before they put up the walls, there was a big slab of concrete. That was the smoothest roller skating I ever did. Oh, it was so much fun. But then we had to put up the walls, so I can't do it anymore.
So this is your form of exercise, obviously, on during leisure recreation time.
For fun, yeah.
For fun. And you can just come out and roller skate in the back.
Yes.
I love that. Again, I'm telling you, the surprise is the things that we hear on the Pearl of Great Price. We just never know what we're going to find out about our beautiful religious. I think this is absolutely wonderful. Well, was it a huge adjustment for you? Okay, you're 17. You were very young when you entered. Was it a huge adjustment? What do you remember about being a postulant and a novice during that time?
I was told by my novice mistress that I had the deer in the headlights look for about 2 weeks. I don't remember it being, I mean, it's a big adjustment for anyone. It's a whole different culture in here. But I don't remember it being overly difficult to just kind of slide into the routine of it all. I mean, the hardest thing for me as a postulant and a novice was just learning to live with other people who were different from me. I wasn't used to that.
Sure.
I was still pretty young. I had a lot of maturing to do.
So sure.
Learning to appreciate the beauty of each sister and each the differences in each and how that enriches one another.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that was. Again, it's almost like anybody, to be honest, of the same age, going off to college and getting used to living with a roommate. Or if you live in a suite, you've got 6 roommates, and that's an adjustment for anyone.
Yeah.
So it was that type of an adjustment, but here in the monastery,
yes,
in that environment instead, which is very, very beautiful. Okay, so most people, when they think of a cloistered monastery, they only think about the loss of freedom and, you know, no cell phone, no car, no air conditioning. So to be real, could you share what was the hardest thing for you to give up? But then, more importantly, can you explain the freedom and the joy that you do experience in your life? So let's be real first. What was the hardest thing for you to give up?
Well, since we take a vow of enclosure, that's probably the most difficult thing, is the loss of intimate contact with family.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the greatest sacrifice I had to give up.
Mm-hmm.
But all of our vows, we take vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, and enclosure. And all of the vows really hit at the heart of humanity, because you have enclosure, and so you lose that intimate contact with friends. You have the vow of poverty, so you no longer can, you know, have a say of what kind of material possessions you have, success you have, chastity, you give up the idea of family, marriage. and obedience, your own free will, what you do, how you do it, and but why would you do it? I did it for love. There's no other.
It's the only reason.
Good reason.
Exactly.
Love. And mission, in the sense of God calls all of us to a particular mission in life, and he called me to this one.
Let's explain that for our listeners, too. The charism, the mission of the Poor Clares.
Our mission, it's to live the poverty and the humility of Jesus Christ, his mother, within enclosure, in a loving community, at the service of the church and the world through prayer.
Through prayer, exactly. And your prayers, you are the heart of the praying church that we need so desperately in our world today. You are that living example, hidden flower, but a very, very important one. And I can't thank you enough for praying for all of us, because goodness knows we all need your prayers.
Yes.
So thank you for that. So explain the freedom and the joy that you do experience in your life, because your dad mentioned that the joy that he sees in you, the happiness that, you know, every parent just wants their child to be happy, right? Mm. And he knows you are happy. So explain that for our listeners firsthand, the joy and the freedom that you experience in your life and what it's like for you to be a bride of Christ.
Being able to shed all the things of the world through those vows, through our life, it opens up to a real interior freedom and joy, because we found Jesus Christ. We found him. Mm. He's everything. He's everything for us, everything for our life. And in finding him, the joy just overflows. You just can't stop it sometimes.
See, she's giggling and smiling and laughing. You all, listeners, if you could just be here and be a fly on the wall right now. Sister Mary Christiana, you're just so beautiful, and thank you for sharing that aspect. And just even, like I said, it overflows, and your giggle and your laughter and your smile is just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So I think you were explaining this a little bit about your relationship with Christ. How do you foster that? How do you nurture your vocation? Just the day-to-day, a day in the life of Sister Mary Christiana, of the day in the life of being a bride of Christ. Just give our listeners just a little glimpse of that.
What sustains me most is definitely the Holy Mass. Something I didn't realize in my early years yet. Only now can I really look back and see how that every morning we have morning prayer and then we have Mass and receiving our Lord in Holy Communion. That is just the center of which the day revolves around. And he just carries you throughout the entire day. So that's probably my main source of nurturing the vocation.
What are some of maybe the saints' devotions or prayers that have been influential in your life?
One of the biggest ones has been a consecration to Our Lady, to Mary. I have found that graces have just overflowed since I've done that several years ago. So she's been a real big support to me in my vocation.
As a teenager, when you were discerning, was there any particular scripture verse or saint or anyone that you felt helping you in that discernment?
I had two. Saint Philomena was my confirmation saint, and she's really been there for me all throughout my journey. And also Saint Padre Pio. It was one of my favorites, and he's definitely been a spiritual father to me.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right, last question, because we're out of time. What do you wish people understood about the meaning and purpose of cloistered life? And what would you say to a young woman who feels that tug, even if she's young, 17, like you were? So answer those two. And then I do even have a final question. Are there certain qualities or temperaments that you think are well suited for the religious life, or in particular for a life in a cloistered monastery? All right, so let's start with that first one. What do you wish people understood?
That there are people who do leave everything behind to live in a cloister, doing not much more than constant prayer and simple labor, and that in some mysterious way, this vocation is the heart of the church. It's not just a nice saying to say we're the heart of the church, it's a reality, one I wish people would be able to experience.
Mm. Okay, and what would you say to a young woman who might feel that tug?
Never stop listening to what God is saying to you.
Yeah, you heard him as you were praying the Stations of the Cross. You just heard the word cloister, and that was enough for you. But you knew that that was God, didn't you?
Yes. So always listen and keep an open heart to give a generous response.
Final. What about the different personalities and temperaments? You know, I think a lot of people think that you have to only be this quiet introvert, someone who likes to pray all day, to become a cloistered nun. Dispel that myth for me.
We have all kinds in the monastery, every temperament, personality type. They're all mixed. It's a mixed bag. I would have to say, if you want to talk about qualities, temperament, the two most important ones is a willing heart and a call from God.
There you go. A willing heart and a call from God. That's it. That's what it's all about. Thank you so much, Sister Mary Christiana, for sharing that with us, your whole story, your smile, your laughter, your joy. Thank you for your prayers for the church. All right, we are out of time. So let's conclude by praying for holy vocations, shall we? And listeners, please join with us as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters. Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation with Mary. I ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sister Mary Christiana, thanks for being our guest today on The Pearl of Great Price.
Thank you, Patty.
This was a joy. All right, join us next time for The Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to hear previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.